Good afternoon, Muskegon. It's April 14, 2023. Now stop. Don't even touch that dial. Don't do it. We got some very important stuff that we need to talk about. We need, remember those family meetings that we got to keep it real. Keep it real. I need you to share this because we got some stuff that we really have to talk about today. Listen, you can watch the show for questions on WUVS LP 103.7 to BM 106 Facebook sites. You can subscribe to our WUVS 103.7 the Beat YouTube page as well. And I want you to grab your phone. Grab your phone like I'm doing right here. I want you to go, if you're on Facebook, I want you to share this because we got to talk about some stuff today. And let me get my partner on. Pastor Melvin C. Burns, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, my brother. How are you doing today?
I'm sharing this message right now because I want everybody to hear this show because we have a whole lot to say to people, and that is important. So I need you to do that, and that's what I'm doing. How's your daughter doing?
She's doing well. Thank you for asking, brother. She's doing well.
Okay. So, all right. Listen, again, if you're driving and you want to watch the show or you want to repeat the show and watch or tell somebody about it, our shows repeat themselves on WVES or M106 or the Emoji app, which somebody should get. You know, we probably should do a commercial at the bottom of the hour so everybody gets that app. But listen, people, we have to talk about a shooting that happened today. Now, you already know about it. Now, let me do some clarifications real quick. We're not going to use no names. We're going to have respect for the family because they're mourning and they need time at rest. And I want to talk to news agencies that call up on people that are in, trying to get that first story. Let people mourn before you call people and try to bug them. It was a mistake yesterday with the intelligence, the guy that leaked intelligence, that the Washington Post is knocking at the door before the police got there with helicopters. It's just crazy. But listen, what we got to talk about, brother, and you have to pray for me on this one because I'm hot.
All right.
I'm hot. I'm sad for the family. And the story we're talking about is the child, the 6-month child, old child, that died in their house. In their house. Not outside, in their house. And we need to talk about this because, you know what, people? It's our community. This is our community that we need to talk about. And you know what? Yeah, I'm going to do what my beliefs said. We're going to even pray for the people that possibly did this as well. Yes. Because two lives, families' lives are ruined.
Yes.
So we're going to do both, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. A 6-month-old child in their house is dead. The person has been caught, was caught quickly by the police department.
Yes.
The two other brothers shot at a car thinking it was somebody after them. We're going to go on this. This is an interview that I have been in. I'm back in the streets talking to people about this story. I had a chance to talk to the Muskegon Police Department. I've had a chance to talk to Prosecutor DJ Hilson. I had a chance to talk to somebody's house that was shot up.
Mm-hmm.
That was shot up, and they had the wrong address.
Yeah.
Let me see, a question coming to you, Mr. Burns.
Okay. Says from Latanya Tan Willard, the news media seeks sensationalism, period. Ask me how I know.
Oh, yeah, I know how you know.
Yeah.
Sister Tanya, you went through a very unfortunate thing.
Yeah. You know, let me say this, and we're going to get into to tell you, but one of the things I've learned, when the news people come, don't feel obligated to talk to them, whether that's us or anybody else. I currently have a news person at a Grand Rapids TV station who's upset that I won't do an interview with them. I have no reason to. It doesn't benefit me. And so unless you have a message you want to get out, don't feel obligated to talk to any news media.
Yeah. And we, the story that we have to get out is tragic because this child lost their lives and yes. The parents now are in mourning, and it's just sad everywhere. Everybody I talk to is frustrated.
Yes.
Mad, upset. Let's talk about some stats first.
Okay.
Before we get into it. You know, shooting people or harming some people. Suicide has now taken over. Both of them have taken over accidents as like number one, right?
Yeah.
Some more stats, and let me bring this closer to me because I'm old. Of course, the United States is number one in firearm deaths.
Yes.
That's no surprise. Let's get to the deaths per day. The deaths per day, 321 people are shot in the United States, if not more now. This is an old census that I'm reading. Here's the thing that we have become insensitive to and our hearts have grown cold to. 22 children between the age of 1 and 17 are shot. 5 die or more a day.
Wow.
And the numbers go on and on and on.
Wait a minute. A day.
In this country? In this country. In this country, 22 a day. Oh yeah, the numbers are staggering,
wow.
And you can look them up on yourself. Like I said, I had a chance to do a lot of interviews and talking to people. Now this incident happened by a school,
yeah,
mind you,
yes,
by the old McLaughlin School. First of all, we have to say this: the people are innocent until proven guilty.
True.
We have to say that. But this happened by school. Fact. Okay. The fact is, a second thing is that all this stuff was happening as they were shooting at somebody else. And one thing that I want to talk about is that in talking to the police, it said that now people, not only are they shooting at targets, they're just spraying. So if you got beef with me or you got a problem with me, you just shooting. You're just spraying. You're not even looking. And I don't know if you think you Scarface or whatever, but you're just shooting. And bullets don't have eyes, brother.
Right.
And this was happened to that child. A person just spraying bullets and somebody gets shot. Here's the thing that people were talking about. Some of the worst things that we're talking about. This fight was, again, over nothing. It was somebody had beef with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody say, you know, remember when we were young and we would have a problem with somebody?
Yeah.
It used to be fists. But nobody wants to take a butt kicking anymore. Them days are over.
They're over.
Them days are over because kids are grabbing guns and shooting like right now. Right now. And so I just wanted the people to know that it happened in our community, and if we don't want this child's life to go down in vain, and we have to do something.
Yeah.
As the local radio station, it's our responsibility to report to our people. This was in our jurisdiction. This is not a TV station coming from Grand Rapids or whatever. These are our people in mm-hmm. our neighborhood that are being affected by mm-hmm. it. So you got all these daily deaths happening.
Yes.
Which are just crazy. Now, a couple things that I want to talk about is a couple of the interviews that I did. The interviews with the police talked about, here's some of the amazing things, people, and people hear me out. Listen, do you know that there are people that were on that scene that saw that shooting that will not talk to the police? We have a mentality that snitches get stitches, or we don't want to get involved. Now, I want to repeat what I heard from prosecutor DJ Hilson. First of all, we have to remember that there are more good people out there in the world than there are few thugs.
Yes.
We have to remember that. Okay. But if we don't do anything, if we just sit back and be complacent, we're not doing anything to help our neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Pastor Byrne.
So let's put a pin and let's talk for a minute. So people saw this. So there's two assumptions. One, you don't want to snitch, right?
Right.
The second, I don't want to get involved because somebody might do something to me, right? So let's talk about it. Well, I don't want to snitch. Well, I just snitches get stitches. I don't want to snitch. It's childish. And we shouldn't raise our kids with that concept. No, that's just immature as an adult. It goes to the side now. Let's put it with this idea of, well, I don't want to get involved, which means you assume some things that may not be true, which is, this doesn't affect me. This won't ever happen to me or anybody I care about. These people that do this somehow will never touch anybody that I care about. And that what happened to those people doesn't matter to me. That's what it says.
That's
you as the human being. You don't think this will ever happen. These same people will ever do anything anybody care about, and that those other people and how they're feeling does not matter.
I get this question. Hey, Huck, how you doing? Randy Huck Dave says 22 people age 1 to 17 die daily. Wow.
Dave, it was one of 22 shot and one of 22 die.
It's the numbers are staggering. You can look them up by CDC. Yeah. But the numbers are staggering. Now, here's some of the things that the police said. The police said, not only there are people involved that refuse to talk to the police. Do you know that hinders the investigation? So that hinders the investigation, so people can't do their jobs to bring this to court. And DJ Hilson said the same thing, that when you refuse to talk, that this helps and hinders what to try to make a case on the people that are shooting.
So let me ask this question. In this case, is there a way for people to tell the police what they saw without being identified?
Yes.
What can they do?
Okay. This is one of the things that, this is another thing that the police were frustrated about, and prosecutor DJ Hilson. You know, people do not use silent observer. And silent observer, you just can call. And then they went as far as said, you know, You can call 911 and say, I do not want to be involved. Okay. But listen, I'm sorry. If you're in my neighborhood and that's happening and my family could be possibly hurt, you hit. Mm-hmm. And don't give me about anything about those snitches get stitches and stuff like that. don't give me this thing about it's usually all connected to drugs, because it's not. It's not. People talk about it's usually because of economics and a little bit because, but you want that quick money instead of that honest money. So you go out and do something that puts you, oh my gosh, put others in danger, and you're selling a product to people that possibly kills them. Okay, that's your business. Okay, but the thing is that when you start affecting our community, our village, then it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the police are and the prosecutor said they're at the ends with, because, and this is what they said, they feel that the people actually don't want them to be involved in their lives until they get in trouble. Okay.
Yeah.
So at that worst point, but they don't want that kind of, they want a relationship that they can keep the neighborhood safe. Yeah. So we don't even get to a point where there is a shooting.
So let me ask you this, my bro, do you think most people want their neighborhood safe?
I think so, but actions speak louder than words.
Pastor. So if we looked at the traits of neighborhoods that are where people are feel safe, where people feel it's okay to be at home, where children feel safe, and neighborhoods where people don't. If we had to guess, which one do you think is the neighborhood where people call the police when things happen, identify people that seem suspicious or people that have done things? Which of those neighborhoods sounds like the neighborhood that you would rather live in?
Well, you would think that you would want to be in the neighborhood that's safe, that you can walk, that you can do anything that you want to do. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, a lot of neighborhoods, that is not the case.
You know, we understand the historic and traditional issues with police and some of the issues we've had with them. We understand issues people have with prosecutor's office and with the court system.
Mm-hmm.
But from our experience, instances like this, our police, our courts, our prosecutors, our judges, to a person, everybody is on the community side with wanting to see these people prosecuted and wanting the best for their family. It just, you know, we've been around police and fire departments pretty much all our life.
All our lives.
But I'm telling you, instances like this, you will find people will put some of their racial bias, their sexual bias, their community bias aside because they recognize how horrible these kind of incident crimes are. You'll find just the receptivity. Maybe you don't find with some other kind of crimes. You know, the warning is for understanding how people may not want to, I don't even want to use worse things, say what they saw. And people wanting to protect that for people just because they want to see people who do these kind of things prosecuted.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of the things, some of the other things that I want to get through the interview with the police, and then I want to get to the interview with Prosecutor Hilson.
Yeah.
A lot of these arguments are contrary to what you hear on the news and stuff like that, like drug wars or whatever. A lot of these are just over words spoken on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok. You sung a song talking about. And here's another thing. You are fighting over a street or area that you don't even own. You live in Mason Street or Angel or whatever. You calling that your turf and area, and people are fighting about that. But I want to get back to people are just fighting about words. So you rapping about such and such did this and that and all this kind of stuff. Instant beef. Mm. You stole somebody's cell phone. Instant beef. You hear that. Now, wow. We fighting over words. We not fighting over words. We shooting over words now.
Wow.
We shooting over a cell phone. We're shooting over our pride and stuff like that of what gang we're associated with. We're doing that. Mm. And the police are just devastated. And the thing is that I keep mentioning the police. More people are devastated. I am devastated. You're devastated. We're devastated. The family, like Tanya Tan Wheeler, when she went through her event, devastated. Untruths out there, spilled out there. People don't know what they're talking about. Mm. But yet, it happened. So a lot of this stuff is happening about just words that are happening on social media. Mm. If you want to hear the report on the police and see what the police chief said about this, you can go to Muskegon's Facebook, the city's page on Facebook. Go to the last meeting that they had. Skip ahead about 44 minutes and 22 seconds. 20 seconds, and you can see the police chief address, because the city commissioners wanted to know what the heck was happening, and he addressed them right away.
Yeah. Wow.
And a question's coming to you.
Okay. It says, from Randy Huckabee Dame, so I agree with you. There are instances where when someone does tell and they find out, the same people will shoot their house also. People are afraid to tell. And again, that's a valid point. But as we said, there are vehicles for you to give information to the police without you being identified, for people who are concerned. And they're legitimate. You know, there's a cynicism out there. Well, if you get silent observers, they know the reason it works is because they don't identify you.
And actually, here, Randy, and to people that are listening, actually, once somebody's house gets shot up, then comes the retaliation.
Yes.
Then somebody else's house gets shot up. And I want to tell you what the prosecutor said about that. He says he understands, he's sympathetic when people are hurting, okay, when they lose somebody.
Yes.
But he's saying street justice will not be tolerated. He says if you go and something, it's not an eye for an eye.
Right.
He says if you go shoot up somebody's house because something bad happened to you, he said you will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Same way. Yes.
So you see what hands you see what you've tied his hands to?
Yeah.
So now you're just extending hate begets hate. It just continues to happen.
And again, let's say you think, well, they shot at somebody in my family. I have a right to do something. Who's to say you got the right person, you got the right house, that you shoot well, so that you won't get an innocent bystander? That street justice, that, you know, I get my own revenge, it just doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And you know what? And let me go to an interview that I had yesterday. I met with a person that was just sitting at their house,
mm-hmm.
and with their mother and their father who was sick. And all of a sudden, their house was shot up. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So she had to grab her mother and lay down on her mother. And they were trying to get to their father who was in his sick bed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody survived. So the brother is coming to check on the family. They turned around the corner and shot again, and he had to lay on the ground. Now, in her story, everybody survived, mm-hmm. okay? They had the wrong address.
Wrong address?
They had the wrong address. And so, again, it comes down to this. If we don't start saying something about this stuff, it could be your wrong address that somebody comes and shoots at well.
Yeah.
Now, people talk about gun control, okay? This is one time when I'm going to say, no.
Yeah,
no, because the thing is that usually the people that I know that buy guns, They take classes. They buy guns through the stores. They lock them up, and they're responsible. Now, things happen. Yes, things absolutely happen, right?
Yeah.
But people on the streets that are carrying guns most of the time are not buying guns through proper methods.
Yeah. I think we agree. We have a gun problem in this country, but this ain't that.
This ain't that.
This ain't that. This ain't the gun problem, because we're dealing with a mentality. We're dealing with a mindset that we have to make unacceptable in every kind of way.
Now say that again, because I think it's very important that you say that.
I said we're dealing with a mentality and a mindset that we have to make unacceptable. You know, well-meaning people, you know, and I'm not preaching, will say things like, if you ever mess with me and mine, I would do X, Y, Z. We have to be careful when we say that, because then we're feeding into that same mentality. Hmm. I know if you mess with me and mine, I know what I would do. You know? And so we say that mentality, and then we go, well, I know if they shot and hurt someone in my family, I know what I'm going to do. That doesn't make anything better. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make any of the situation better. However that person feel like they were disrespected or whatever, shooting at somebody makes absolutely nothing about it better.
Question coming to you from Latanya.
Latanya Tanwiller says, this is a morality issue. It is. And so we got to ask ourselves, what is the moral fiber and character of our community? And I'm not saying them, I'm saying all of us.
All of us. All of us.
What is this saying about the moral character of our community?
All of us. All of us. Yeah. I want to talk about the next issue. So yeah. I want to get some things straight. First of all, not enough people are getting involved. Okay. Number two, you can use silent observer. Yeah. If you don't want your face involved, if you don't want to go to court, if you want to do it that way, you can call that. Even if some of you want money, there's money in that, if that's the way you want to handle your business, okay. But the problem is that in our community, this stuff is evolving. And let me tell you, if you don't make phone calls when you see stuff, if you sit and just sit with a blind eye, if you are buying drugs and, hey, you know, and I get that buying drugs and growing up in that environment, that's a sickness and that's an illness. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we need to deal with that issue in itself. Yes. Okay, but what we have to understand, if we don't do nothing, all our hands are bloody.
Yes, yes.
and all our hands are bloody. And which brings me to the thing that, are we at the bottom of the hour already? Okay, I tell you what, we're at the bottom of the hour. Lady J, let's go to commercials. And then we're going to come back and talk about some of the solutions. You're watching 22 with Pastor Melvin Burns and Gregory T. Roberts on 103.7 The Beat and M106. Or maybe not going to the commercial. All right. Well, until we go back to the commercial, I'll let you know. All right.
As an Olympic athlete, I prepare for everything. So when I became pregnant, I thought I was ready. But at 32 weeks, I was diagnosed with severe preeclampsia and had an emergency C-section. Looking back, had I known the warning signs, I would have talked to my doctor sooner. Too many women die of pregnancy-related complications, and most are preventable. If you or someone you know is pregnant or recently had a baby, learn the warning signs. It could help save her life. Hear her.
The wait is over. The all-new Umoja Radio Network, home to over 40 black-owned radio stations and podcasts, is here for you. Connect to the world's fastest-growing collection of unapologetically black and proud media, from podcasts to independent black-owned radio stations, and access to the important news and music you need. Umoja Radio is from our culture, by our culture, for our culture. The all-new Umoja Radio is available right now on Google Play and the Apple Store. Join the movement. Be empowered.
And we're back to 22. Thank you, Lady J, who's running the board. and producing the show, who does a great job. Listen, man, the board is blowing up. So let's go to the questions from Rhonda.
From Rhonda Aubrey says, it's a perception of how the community sees this problem. There are more areas of concerns besides the community as a whole.
Let's go to LaTanya Wheeler.
LaTanya Wheeler says, when good men do nothing, evil abounds. Amen.
And let's go to her again.
And she also adds, what are the practical things that we can do? Excellent question.
And so this is what we're going to start talking about. Okay, so remember that it takes a village.
Okay.
To raise.
We all know it. We've all quoted it. Yep.
It takes a village. But we also, it says, how do you deal with an elephant in a room? One bite at a time. Okay. We got problems. Okay. So let's deal with this at one bite at a time. Remember in the days when if it was 1 o'clock and you were supposed to be in school to 2:35 and you took that walk of shame home. And guess what? Mrs. Newsom, Mrs. Chambers, Mrs. Jenkins all jacked you up for being kicked out of school. You got home and then you told your mom what happened or your dad. And then you got jacked up and then they had to go apologize. Okay. We have totally lost that. Okay. All right. Number two, you can't even talk to some people's kids. Okay, don't talk to my kid.
Right.
Okay. Right. All right. Don't speak to my child. I told people in my neighborhood, if you see my daughter doing wrong, you better check her. You have my permission to check her. But we ain't got to the point where we can't do anything. So one of the things is we have to return back to that village thing and all hands on deck. That means every church, if you have a building and that you could do something to teach dads, because here's one thing that we could do is if you have a youth, okay, that is next to you and you taking your child to do a sport, okay, and that child doesn't have the money. Okay, why don't you talk to that parent and see if you can get that child to be involved in that sport? Because you never know who you are touching. If it wasn't for people like Mr. Scott, Mr. McClain, Mrs. Trump, people that saw stuff in me that they saw something that I didn't see.
Yeah.
But they took the time to invest that time with me. Coaches like Mr. Six and Rodney Whitlow and all that kind of stuff that took time to invest in me because you know what they say about if you're a black male and if you grow up in a house with domestic violence and if you grow up in a household where there's drugs, you're going to end up being one, two, or three or four dead. But we need people to start instilling into our kids that there's better in life, Pastor.
Yeah, you know, you just said it very plainly, brother. You know, Scott, no one person's going to do everything. No one organization is going to do everything. I call it your sphere of influence. Who and what can you influence? Your kids are in stuff. Okay, then add one more kid. Your church is in stuff. Reach out to one more child. But all of us have a sphere of people that we can influence. Doesn't mean it's going to turn out 100%, but you rest well saying, you know what, I've made some effort. And there's hundreds and thousands of people saying, you know what, I've made some effort. But again, we've backed away from so much of it. That's the
thing. Oh, yeah.
Like you say, send something to my child. Okay, so maybe one or two people say something that isn't quite the way you'd have said it. You know, but the fact that there's somebody trying to say something. And again, we flipped it 100%. Yeah, there were some people that said things they shouldn't have. But that doesn't mean it should have flipped over 100% to you can't say anything.
Exactly. And then the second thing to that is that, well, people said, well, I don't know the person that's talking to my kid. That person might be a criminal, whatever. Okay, you know what? Love thy neighbor. How about know thy neighbor?
Okay.
Okay, because a thing is, a lot of the time, you don't even know your neighbor. You don't know who they are. And a lot of the times we are just coming home. A lot of people are going to work, coming home, going to work, going home, go to church, going home. Now, on the way, they have passed potholes. They have passed. They've seen things that are happening, but yet they just repeat the same old cycle. And if we see things happening in our community, we have to say something. You know, whether it's even call a radio station at 727-5007 and tell us and speak to us or whatever needs. If you are that afraid, well, you don't want to call Silent Observer or you don't want to call 911. We're not asking you to do to go out there and provide justice. We're not asking you to do that. There's professionals that get paid money to do that. Yeah. But another thing that we could do is, and I want your opinion about this, Pastor Burns, is why is it that we wait and to learn to know our police and our fire and our EMS? We wait until our worst moment instead of when they on the beat or when they try to do something or talk of something. Or what about our neighborhood associations when we don't go there or get involved there? Aren't we missing an opportunity?
Yeah. You know, just because something happened once doesn't mean it'll always happen. Again, we know the issues. We've done stories about things police have done wrong. And even in our community, there have been mistakes, crimes committed by police. Doesn't, you know, you sound sincere, isn't that all bad? But, you know, I've interviewed hundreds of guys who wanted to become policemen. Some turn out good, some turn out bad. The one thing every interview I've sat in, Michigan and Ohio, they all start to say, why you want to be a police officer? I want to help people.
Right.
I haven't done an interview where I have not heard that ever, where I've not heard that statement. And so let's believe that's true. Whether it's 10%, 20%, 30%, still have that mindset. That means they're still out there. I'm not doing a poster for police. I'm saying what's the reality, which is there are people with families. There are people that live in communities. There are people that do this job that still care about people. Why don't you get to know who they are?
So, Pastor, I got another one for you. Is that okay? This was another thing that bothered me. So it's Easter, okay?
Yeah.
You've been around family all day. It was just like, okay, we've been around family all day. Let's go somewhere where we can just take a deep breath because we've been around family all day. All right. So we go somewhere. Now we hear people talking about the story that don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Oh, man.
And so now I'm at the point where I'm shaking and trembling.
Yeah.
About to go say something to them. And I'm going, you know what? Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Okay, just let that be. In other words, I'm saying if you don't know the facts about something, or if you can't say something good, a positive, or influence someone, shut your mouth. Don't say anything. If you have compassion for people, if we say, oh, that's tragic, you know, nothing for prayers for those people. But shut your mouth because the stupid thing. Well, why would she have a baby around and all this kind of stuff? And I'm trembling and shaking.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
You know, somebody earlier mentioned about how news people sensationalize, you know, the media. Well, now that you have a Facebook, you have an audience, you become that same kind of attention whore. You want to be the one to say something. You want to be the one to tell people about what happened. You want to be the one to post it. You want to be somebody to give people the news. That's all it is. And what you're really doing is you want the attention on you.
Mm.
I'm going to tell you, I know what happened, or I bet you I know what happened. what you're saying is, I don't care about the family shot. I want people to hear me, hear what I have to say. And you're an attention whore.
But,
don't complain about the media and the news if you do the same thing. Tell a story without having facts. Tell a story and don't care about how other people feel. You're doing the exact same thing.
You preach it good. They got past the plate now.
You know, we've all been in situations when you read someone on Facebook and found it wasn't true. And I think now I should start going back and finding people's original posts and saying, hey, this wasn't true. Did you apologize yet? Did you take it down? Did you say, hey, I put this up and it was wrong? Hey, people that told you information you found wasn't true later. Hey, did you go back and tell everybody that you told the untruth? Did you go back and correct that with people and say, hey, I was wrong? Because if you did that, I guarantee you, next time, you'll be a lot more careful.
Right,
but
it, right.
But it's so hurtful to people. You know, people speculating. And again, you don't know the facts that you don't, you know, when you start with, well, I bet such and such. No, that means you don't know. And if you don't know, you shouldn't say.
That's good. That's a good word.
Yeah.
So where we go from now? We're at 241.
Mm-hmm.
We have to restore the village, man. We have to restore the village, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, we need to understand that you got to reach out and grab youth. Because they said, this is another thing they said. The police said, and we said, when it's 60 degrees or 65 degrees, get ready. It's getting ready to happen.
Yeah.
The police know that spring break, get ready. Spring break, two shootings, city of Muskegon. Bam. Yeah. Bam, bam. Right away. We have to get involved. Like I said, it's all hands on deck where there are some of the people that ask questions. I know that they're doing stuff. I know that they're doing stuff, but it means more people. I was in a meeting yesterday where I was talking to, it's called a clear meeting, and it gets police and fire with people that just were incarcerated that got out, with people that struggled with addictions and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Get involved, get to know what a person struggling with an addiction, what that means. And so how can you help them? Well, we're finding out information on how we can help them so they can be successful, so they won't go back on drugs. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if everybody can do something, then we can restore the village. If we don't restore the village, the same old thing is going to happen. And then tragically, somebody else is going to get shot. It's a warm day today.
Yes,
it's a warm day today. It's a nice day outside, and somebody's going to have beef with somebody. And you know what? Yeah, we pray. We get on our, but God also told us to get out there and go.
Yep.
And so we should be putting our faith in action and doing things.
Yes.
Instead of sitting back and watching and complaining.
Yeah. You know, complaining has never accomplished anything. You know, you say things like, well, haven't we said this before? But a community doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. The community is based on the things that people do and the things people don't do. He just said, well, what things are we doing? And what are the things that we stop doing? And we find there's a whole lot of things we just stop doing to make our community better. And, you know, you can blame, you can look at people and you can point blame. But again, in your family, in your house, at your church, in your group, your circle of friends, you say, okay, what kind of things are we really doing?
And let's be honest. Let's be honest. Okay. What do you say to that person that says, look, I don't have money. Our family is broke. The person doesn't know what to do. He is being enticed with money. He's enticed, he or she is enticed to sell and get that quick dough. We've all been on that crossroad where we've had the have these conversations, or we've had that chance to maybe go that way and sell something.
Yeah. You know,
what do we tell those people?
Consistent and clear message. We aren't responsible for the outcomes of other people's actions. We're responsible for what we do and say. You know, you and I are both parents. Our message is consistent and clear. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean our kids did everything we said do. Doesn't mean we did what everything our parents said do. But how many of us can attest to the fact, you know, I almost did this or that, and I could hear my mother or my grandmother's voice or my dad's voice in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Consistent and clear message. You know, I don't want to get on my pulpit, but the same lessons apply in life. I tell people, you're not responsible for how people respond to your preaching and your message. You're responsible that you give that message.
Right.
And so the things we're talking about today, we've talked about these things before. We're going to talk about them again. But as somebody in the community, make sure the message you always give is consistent and clear.
You bring up a very valid point, because that's what our message has been, consistent and clear.
Yes.
Because all we do is talk about the same old things. It's trying to help people. Let's go to Michael Anthony Smith. He says, hello, guys. Good show. Michael, sorry for your loss, man. Glad to see you back. So we are, this is 22. We're talking about the 6-month old baby dying. That baby was in their house. The people that were we have to use allegedly and put the bunny fingers up, were actually trying to shoot at 4 other people in a truck. A chase pursued, okay, and the police went and stopped the 4 people that was in that truck. Mm-hmm. But the guy that was shooting at the people that was in the truck. Do you see what just happened?
Yeah.
Now you just spraying bullets all over the place, and you totally missed. Now, the person I talked to you about, I did an interview yesterday with a woman.
Yes.
That house was shot up, and they had the wrong house.
Mm.
She said if she would have been sitting where she normally sat in the house, but she had just got up for a second, the bullet it went right through the chair that she was sitting. She would have been shot right in the head.
Wow.
And see, I don't think people think about that stuff. And the thing is that one other thing that we didn't mention yet, there are people like Big Rob, for instance, Big Rob, and there are other people that can talk to people that are in the streets.
Yes.
And you too, you can too, because you know such and such a son you just saw. You see him on Sunday, but you just saw him on the corner, and you don't say nothing to that child.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes where we have to speak up to the youth, because the police said the age that most of the shooting is, now get this people, the age of people that are shooting are 17 to around 24. After 24, now Melvin, you're gonna probably laugh at this, after 24 you consider him to be an OG.
After 24 man,
you consider to be an OG.
The streets promoting early, aren't they?
Oh, they promote early.
The streets got a serious advancement program. You can't get OG status nowhere else at 25.
Yeah, yeah. So if they're OGs, I hate to see what I am. But so these young guys are sitting up, and they're young people. And I call them kids and boys, because the thing is it's not no demeanor. But what it is to say, son, you ain't learning. Or the girls that are, the same thing is happening with girls. You haven't learned who you are. You haven't learned what you can do. You haven't learned what you can be. What you're being blinded by is about some money that's fast money. But that money is blood money.
Yes.
And is one way in and two ways out.
you know, I want to go back to something Latonya Willard said. What can we do? Things can we do?
That is.
Yeah. And I've had to tell parents this. Sometimes we have to let our kids suffer consequences.
Hello.
You know, my parents made one message very clear to me. I tell people, no, I don't know if they'd have done. They said if I got in trouble, ended up down at the county building, they wasn't coming with no bail money. Now, in my heart, I believe they probably would have, based on the circumstances. But I sure grew up believing that they wasn't coming.
They ain't coming.
And that guided a whole lot of decisions. It's like, you know, I can't put myself in this situation. And I want to make clear, I done been at that crossroads of making some very bad decisions and making some bad decisions. You know, but sometimes, and it's a hard, I was talking to a friend of mine recently and a grandmother, and I was like, I know what I'm telling you. And she said, you're right. It's very hard what you got to do. But she said, I hear you in my head. I know what you're saying is right, but my heart can't take it. Watching a grandchild go through the system for things they've done. You know, we're talking about, and she's, you know, the things this person's done, I said, they got to think of who they're doing them to. People you know, people you go to church with. They aren't giving thought to that. Your grandchild is a menace. This your grandbaby that you love, not even 18 yet, is a menace to society. You love him.
Mm.
We take a bullet for him, but you understand what he's doing to the rest of us.
And the rest of the community. You're right.
And so sometimes if they get exposed to the consequences early, you know, I'm a parent. I know how hard it is. But sometimes they got to know that there's, or maybe early on, there's consequences of things you do. You know, I'm not cold and callous, but here's the thing we do know. Most people that get in trouble with the law, it ain't their first time. Most people go to jail, they didn't have more than one encounter with the police and breaking the law. So don't think it's first time offenders. Likely the people, I'm not going to speculate. Most of the time, we know factually that age group, 70, 24, they've had encounters with breaking the law before. It's not their first time. So you say one of those things we can do is sometimes we need to make sure there's consequences for negative action. There should always be more than enough room for forgiveness, but there also needs to be consequences for actions.
Absolutely. I want to speak to my brothers that are incarcerated.
Yes.
Because I have a chance to go in the church, as a church, and go into prison. You, hey, just because you're incarcerated, you can be involved by phone calls and talking to your children, your nieces, your nephew, whatever, and be real about the situation that you're in. Yes. We have to be, I want to go back to this question again, what practical, you know, these practical things that we can do, how parents... We have to stop being and pretending like our life was perfect.
Yes.
And we need to be truthful and tell our kids, hey, listen, I went down that road, but I stopped. I you know, when we start being transparent with our kids and having true conversations with our kids, maybe we can stop some of this stuff that where people are going. Because there has never been a time or a situation what these kids are facing now, because like bullying, for instance, there was a time when if you were bullied at school, all you needed was to get home. Yeah, and that was a quick run. But you didn't have to deal with social media, but bullying goes 24/7.
Yeah,
this what's happening on word stalking, the words that people are saying about people, it goes on 24/7 on Facebook, TikTok, you name it. So you got the bullying going on. Another practical thing that we could do is monitor what our kids are looking at.
Yes. But let me throw this one in there, too.
Go ahead.
If they're in your house where you pay the rent and pay the
mortgage,
go through socks, under mattresses, in drawers, in closets, and if it's something that shouldn't be in your house, throw it out.
What about this? I deserve privacy.
In your own house, in your house where you pay the bills, you do. If you don't pay the bills there, ain't no privacy. There's respect, but privacy as in you can't come in my room, you can't look through my stuff. That no.
Pastor Burns, you bring up a very valid point. One of the last mass shootings that we just had was a family that thought that all the guns were out of their house. Mm-hmm. And also the girl has a bag, a red bag, and the mom says, "What's in the bag?" And they go, she said, "Oh, mom, you just being paranoid," and just laughed it off and walked off. The next thing you know, we just had a mass shooting. This just happened a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Multiple guns, multiple ammo that was in that girl's room, and they knew nothing about it. When's the last time you've been in your child's room? When is the last time they came in late, yeah, and they smelled kind of funny, and you ain't checked their pockets or checked? Back off, mom. Wait a minute. I'm on dial 911, and I dare you to dial the other one, and you got 4 or 5 minutes until the police to get here. Yeah. When is the last time you checked their house? Because people are actually bringing pistols and stuff in your household, and the thing is, and you don't know about it, or maybe because they're giving a little money to you, you showing a blind eye.
Yeah, those things we can do, those are real things. I want to say this, brother, I know our time is running out. I hope people are indignant.
I'm pissed.
I hope they're enraged, and I hope they're upset, and I hope they're fired up from this incident. And I hope you're so enraged and so fired up and so just mortified by what happened that it makes you do at least one thing different. That it makes you think twice about saying something to somebody, or think twice about going to your child's room, or think twice about whether I should call or not. That it makes you do something. We're indignant. You know, they didn't hear you yesterday. I said, "Brother, I got you." But you were being real. You was like, "Man, no, this is something. This, you know, you were upset."
Whew.
You know, and what I tell, I say, you got every right to be indignant. No, can I tell them what you told me yesterday?
Yeah, go.
You said, "Man, I'm upset. You may not want to be on the radio with me." I said, "No, brother, you got a right to be upset. I'm with you." We said, if we don't get upset about this, what's wrong with us? We say we're the station when things are important. We stop the music, right?
Right.
This is important. You know, we done talked about sexual abuse and spousal abuse. How are we not going to talk about this in our own community? So I want people to be upset and mad and like, this is crazy, but this can't happen. And then do something.
Do
one thing different. Don't do everything. Pick one thing different. You decide, I'm going to do this different.
I want the family to speak out to us,
yes,
to the radio station, please, to speak out to me. They know how to contact me. Let us know what we can do, and we will get that information out to you, that this life will not go down in vain. That this will be a spark, a start of a revolution, that we start fighting for what is right. Because the thing is that if we don't do something, we're just saying that it's okay. Mm-hmm. And that is not an option. All right, listen, people, it is 2:59. It's Friday. It's sunny outside. Go out. Listen, go out. And we say this, and we really mean it. You have a chance to go and sow a seed, whether it's a positive word, whether it's giving somebody, whatever you need to do. Please do that, because you know what? Somebody's life might depend on it. And the very life that you may save might be your family member. Mm-hmm. All right. Take care. All right. Love you, brother. God bless. We see you next week.